Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
And we welcome everyone back to Marion Golf Club, where several players are working on the range right now. I think Brant Snedeker just finished up on the range as we speak. Bubba Watson is still, in fact, Bubba Watson's been on the range now for about 2 hours. And Tiger Woods played 11 through 18 this morning, and then instead of the range, he worked on the practice putting green afterward, which makes complete sense, because when you look at what he did last week, at Marion, he didn't play last week, obviously, 2 weeks ago at Marion, of course, where he's had some great highs, big wins, and also has had a couple lows, his finish was a low. I mean, he made the cut for the weekend, but among those who made the cut, he finished last. But if you look inside what he did at Memorial in Dublin, he actually hit the fairway 82%. 82% off the tee. Now, when he won the Players' Championship, he hit 69% of the fairways in winning the Players. The difference between the Players and the Memorial, he didn't putt well. At the Players, he putted very well at Sawgrass. So when he hit the fairway 69% of the time, he putted well enough to compensate for it. When he hit the fairway 82% of the time at the Memorial, he didn't putt well at all. And because of that, he was not able to have any success. So he played 11 through 18 today, and then he spent his time not on the range, but on the practice putting green. He was out of here before 9:30 this morning. Phil Mickelson, he played a practice round here a couple of weeks ago. He played in the St. Jude Memphis Classic. He finished second there. So he comes in here actually, you know, coming off a tournament where he played well. And then he had only limited work here on Monday and then left to go to his daughter Amanda's 8th grade graduation. That graduation was this morning, and of course these guys all have private planes, so he's flying from the West Coast in here tonight because he should be able to get off the tee tomorrow at 7:11. I was just talking with Pete Kowalski, my old friend from the USGA, who told me that. I said, you know, what about the call for tomorrow? He says, yeah, we'll let everybody know. He says, but he says it's just all going to depend on what the conditions are as the day goes. I mean, how heavy is the rain? What about the possibility of thunderstorms? What about really severe weather coming in? I mean, they're going to want to get people off the course as quickly as possible if that's going to happen. You wonder what's going to happen with the afternoon rounds. For example, Tiger Woods, along with Rory McIlroy and Masters champion Adam Scott, they will go at 1:14 tomorrow. Their group. The question is whether they go. That's something we don't know. Early morning rounds, I mentioned Mickelson, I think his group's the fourth group off the tee tomorrow. I mean, that's how early he's going. And Sergio Garcia, whom I watched some of his practice round today, he is in a group that also tees early. Bubba Watson tees early tomorrow, too. Dustin Johnson, I watched some of his practice round today. Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, and Nicholas Kolsarts out of Belgium tee at 7 tomorrow, but they're going off the 11th tee. Now, you may be wondering, why are they teeing at 1 and 11 instead of 1 and 10? Why aren't they teeing naturally from the front nine to the back nine? There's a reason for that. When you see the clubhouse at Marion, when you come up Ardmore, and to be honest with you, when you at first glance, when you look at it, it looks like the Nittany Lion Inn. When you look at that, that's not where the players are using the locker room. They're actually using a locker room that's further down toward the, I want to say, the West Course. And the 11th hole is closer for them to get to start their round. Thus, they chose 11, which means they'll finish up on 10. And 10 is one of the more intriguing holes at this entire tournament. I did not see a drive in the fairway today at 10. It's very narrow. It is a severe dog leg left. It is very narrow at the leg. I saw everything in very, very tall grass today. I didn't see one drive that was worth anything on 10. But the tee was also back today. It was a 330-yard par 4. There is going to be a moment in this tournament where, in all likelihood, it's going to be a 303-yard par 4 where they move the tee up. If that happens, watch for the action at 10 to be critical in terms of the ability to score. Why? Because it's not just 303 yards to the pin, it's 279 yards to the front of the green. So there are going to be players when the tee is up that are going to be seriously considering driving the green at 10 instead of placing one at the leg and then coming in from about, well, try to come in from maybe 100 yards out. If the tee box is up and it's 303 instead of 330, then you are looking at the possibility of guys trying to drive the green on 10 because it's only 279 to the front. It's a big difference. We talked about spots to watch for any of you coming down. A great spot to watch is up on the hill on. Have to go through some areas to get there and then find that spot in that shade. Okay? Shade in that area. You can see the par 3 ninth, which means you can see tee shot to green. You can see the tee shot at 10. You can see the finish at 4, which is the 628-yard par 5. You can see 5, and you can see 2, all on that hill. So if you want to pick a spot where you think you can see a lot of golf being played, that would be a spot I would pick on this golf course, the hill near the ninth green. And it doesn't have to be right at 9. You can move down a little bit, but that, and there are trees in that area as well, so you'll have shade. And when we get to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, shade is something that you're going to want because it's going to be sunny here on those particular days. Tomorrow, it's not going to be one of those days. And we're going to, you know, we're going to find out in terms of how that plays out tomorrow here at Marion with this golf course. But this is, it's interesting getting in here. The homes along the one road are, this is a case of the rich getting richer, which is fine. I understand that. But they have been able to rent out their backyards, or they got, well, actually, they're probably their front yards. I think they're probably, I don't know if they're backyards. They may be front yards. But they may be able to rent out their to USGA, I mean, to the USGA, where corporate tents have been put up. And that's how they've used it. And that has been part of the setup here. And it's there's been one holdout, and that one holdout was fenced off in front. It was a semicircular driveway. Fenced off up front, and then guards on the other side. Other than that, they don't want anybody in there. Everybody else has been accommodating for a lot of reasons. And so that's how it played out today. You're wondering about Rory McIlroy. He also went out and played early today in his practice round today. So of course, we know that's the big pairing. The big group tomorrow, of course, is that one tomorrow. But they all had their practice rounds early today. And, you know, I mean, look, I know they go out tomorrow. That's the whole thing. That's great. I understand that. But The first group is going to be Kresge, Tambellini. We watched both their practice rounds for a period of time today, and yet they go out first at 6:45. Then Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, Nicholas Kolsarts, they go at 7. On one, it'll be Carlsberg, Ueda, and Perry, and then Mickelson, Stricker, and Keegan Bradley go at 7:11. They'll start from the 11th tee tomorrow. So that is that's how it's going to play out tomorrow here. I mentioned that, and then they flipped the times, by the way, for on Friday. If there is a delay in how this goes, then what it does on Friday, I can't even begin to tell you. Jim Furyk, Graham McDowell, Zach Johnson, they go at 1:03 tomorrow. Woods, McIlroy, and Scott go at 1:14 tomorrow. Molinari, KJ Choi, and Pedersen go at 1:40. These are some of the afternoon groups that could be affected dramatically by all this. But those are the ones that go out. And I think the last group that would have recognizable names in it that would go tomorrow would be at 2:02. That's Bo Van Pelt, Kevin Streelman, the DA Points. They'd go out at 2:02 tomorrow. That's the last name group going out. Ernie Els goes out with Webb Simpson tomorrow, and Fox, the amateur champ, at 1:36. And as I mentioned, Woods, McIlroy, and Scott go out at 1:14. So, and then everything flips around for round two. And in round two, I mean, if things were to go as scheduled, Woods would go at 7:44 on Friday with McIlroy and Scott. And if you're wondering about the Mickelson group, they flipped to 12:41 with Steve Stricker and Keegan Bradley. So Justin Rose, Matt Kuchar, Brant Snedeker, they're going to be two groups behind Mickelson. They'll be the next ones up on 11 tomorrow morning. Those groups should be able, I think, to get out tomorrow. The early groups should be able to get out. How far they go, I don't know. Lucas Glover's in a group at 7:18. I saw some of his practice round today. Oosthuizen, Swartzel, Timmy Clark go at 7:33. Batterly, Rory Sabatini, they're in a group at 7:29. Sergio, of course, I watched a chunk of his practice round today. He goes with Stuart Sink and Padraig Harrington at 7:44 tomorrow. Let's see, Poulter. Saw a little bit of Jadon Blake today. He qualified to get in. He goes at 8:39. Well, again, what's interesting, and again, I found this very interesting in going around the course today. And when you go around the course, you know, you hear people make comments. They were constantly asking, who is that, who is that, who that is. First of all, only one-third of the field took advantage of practice rounds today. You know, Lee Westwood's out right now with his practice round. The rest of the field did not in their practice rounds of the week. Now, Woods now, as did Rory McIlroy this morning. Woods played 11 through 18. As I mentioned, you know, they're going to start at 11 anyway. He went 11 through 18. They went to the practice putting. Woods is a guy that hit 82% of the fairways at the Memorial and didn't putt well. That's why he went to the practice putting green. That's what he worked on and felt he had to work on. Obviously, he feels tee to green. He's felt comfortable here and didn't go to the range. So that is how it has played out here so far at the U.S. Open. Break, or do we take that break? This is my guide.
Yeah, if we can take a break, that would be good.
Let's take a break then. We're at the U.S. Open at Marion as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. The deals are heating up at Sunbury Motors Lincoln Hyundai in the 4th Street Auto Plaza. Hyundai is the fastest growing import dealer in all of Central PA. And SMC has over 50 to choose from with savings up to $3,500. Sunbury Motors has 10 of the fuel efficient Hyundai Elantra coupes starting at $16,645. Pick from 15 of the top selling 2013 Hyundai Sonatas. And they're as low as $19,730. All with America's best warranty at 10 years and 100,000 miles. As always, SMC is making American luxury affordable with Lincoln. You want savings? Check out the new Lincoln Navigator with over 10 grand in discounts.
That's not small change.
Stop in and drive the all-new Lincoln MKZ, an awesome car with an awesome ride. So get to the big black building in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza across from Wise Markets and see two great manufacturers at one great location. Because the deals are hot at Sunbury Motors Lincoln Hyundai.
You know, you do the best you can with the situation that you have. And one of the things I've had to do is there are some logistical things I've had to take care of here at the U.S. Open. And one of them is that the practice range is actually on the West Coast, on the West Course, and the tournament's here on the East Course. The practice range is about a mile from the clubhouse. And you have to negotiate the distance between the two, and it can be a challenge for some of the players. So the players were advised they had to at least give 20 minutes to get to their tees off the range in the morning and the afternoon before they come out to play. Ernie Els on Monday took a lot of time to get here because of security stops and road closures. And Rory McIlroy, by the way, said, I don't know, it's no big deal. McIlroy told everybody in the media that it's no big deal. But McIlroy said it was an issue for him to park his car because of how wet it is over there. So, you know, because a lot of players like to go to the range, and then they like to get out. Yeah, and go directly from the range and then go to the tee. Well, it's going to take 20 minutes to go from the range to the tee. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why, again, they start that half the field will start at 1. Okay, 20 minutes to get there. But half the field is going to have start at 11 and not 10 because 11 is easier to get to for the players. So, now, of course, the question is going to be about the weather. And we're going to hear our forecast coming up in just a few moments with the news at the bottom of the hour. The USGA, they're bracing for poor weather, but they think the poor weather is going to be during the afternoon round. They're talking about high winds, some damaging winds, even some hail. USGA Executive Director Mike Davis was in the press tent earlier. He said they're fairly certain they're going to have some kind of weather tomorrow. Now, the morning guys could encounter some rain, but not the severe weather. And if it's raining, they'll play. But, you know, it's... and the course is... Walking the course today, it's muddy in some spots, there's no doubt. But the course itself has dried out beautifully. 2 days of sunshine, breeze today, and the conditions today were really good for the players. Now the problem is, what kind of course do you see Friday after the rain? Because you can see some low scores Friday. But then you're going to see a completely different course on Sunday because there's going to be no rain Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. That's going to be the interesting part. In fact, you have to play two different kinds of golf courses. One that could be one where you could fly the ball in the hole, and one where the greens may be so slick, you're going to have trouble holding the green. Sunbury Motors Studios Mobile today, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Love to take your calls on the Hilster's General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565 at the U.S. Open at Marion as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And the Sunbury Motors Studios Mobile today. Oh, we figured since the U.S. Open was in the state, we'd go there. with the idea that we'll go on the road again in 2016 to Oakmont when the Open comes back. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. And they're located 7 miles south of Sealings Grove, routes 11 to 15. You want any questions about the tournament? You want any questions about time, weather, course conditions, layout? It's time to call. I'm sitting right here at the USGA Media Center as we took the Sunbury Motor Studio mobile today. And it's going to be interesting to see how tomorrow plays out, because they're talking about weather and it being severe at some point tomorrow. How they handle it, they'll just... they'll have to make a call at a certain time. You know, and maybe they'll get lucky and don't have to make a call. But if you have any questions about the tournament, about the layout, about the players in the tournament, what I saw today in practice rounds, what Dick and I talked about earlier when Dick was the guest on the show, give us a call at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We'll take the seriously that the, they have obviously media screens up here and everything. The Golf Channel's up right now. They see John Feinstein up on the Golf Channel right now. And John had lunch today with Dick, me, Mike Kern, from the Daily News, and Bobby Coulter as well. And he was saying yesterday, he was on the set of the Golf Channel for 3 hours yesterday. And I looked over and said, John, how many minutes were you actually on? He says, that's my point, Steve, 12. I was on for 12 minutes. He said, 3 hours for 12 minutes. But you know what? That's the way media is right now. Because we were talking, one of the truly great basketball writers in this country, to the point where his nickname is Hoops. Is Dickie White, and the New York Daily News just let him go. And that's the state of the industry right now. Now, a guy that is without question, if you go around this tent, around this room, not everybody in here obviously is going to be a basketball fan. I mean, that's not the case. But those who know the game of basketball, whatever, and you mentioned Dick Hoops Weiss. Hoops is renowned. Well, that's the state of the industry right now. Here's a guy who built this reputation for years and years and years and years and years, and of course over time you make a little more money and you make a little more money and you make a little more money, you make a little more money, and a bean counter looks over and says, you know, you're making too much money, and he and 20 people were let go. And we were talking about that, you know, because one thing that John Feinstein and I were talking about, and Dick as well, and Bob and Mike, the five of us were talking about diversification in this business. And John, for example, he's writing. He's doing his own radio show. I've been on his radio show before. He's doing his own radio show, and of course he's doing TV with Golf Channel. Well, he had just finished doing the radio show, had lunch with us, because he was heading right out to do Golf Channel. In fact, he was going to, you know, I said, hey, this, and he said, I'd love to with you. He said, but the problem is I got to go do Golf Channel, and of course he's on right now. And well, I told him, at least you're going to be on, comb your hair, which it looks like he did. Took my advice. But, you know, that's diversification that you see in today's media. That's why you see people all over the place. Dick, for example, did our show in the opening half hour here, and we had a great time talking about a variety of things that we saw today as we walked the course for 2 hours. And but he was going off to do TV, you know, because the old Daily News Live has been converted over. But he, you know, he's going over to do that. And you know, for and Sarah, you're a prime example because, I mean, look what you're doing now with the news report that's channeled up. Same thing.
Right. Exactly.
But you know, you'll find. Yeah, and that's, you know, it's that kind of versatility. That's. But you, I look through this press center, and it's a mixture of long-established newspapers, Daily News, Inquirer, Sports Illustrated, you know, all around the room, TV stations here, some radio stations. To be honest with you, I think there's 15 booths here. We're one of only 15 stations here today. Oh, and by the way, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, USA Radio, and so forth, they're all here. They take up 3 of the 15 booths. You know, but there are very few stations that are here today like we are. For example, you know, KMOX in St. Louis is here. KYW Radio in Philadelphia is here, but, you know, I mean, the booth next to mine is Japanese Network. On the other side of me is the Metro-Golf Show, but I think there only have been, I think, 6 or 7 booths used today to broadcast out of the media center today. We're one of the 6 shows in the country broadcasting live from the U.S. Open today, and to give you at least a feel for what's going on down here. Again, tomorrow, it's the afternoon. They're saying the probability of precipitation tomorrow is 100%. Now, when, what time, how many players can play, can they get full rounds in the morning? It's a guess. It's a guess. And that means that if they don't get everything finished on Thursday, whatever they don't get finished on Thursday is going to be grouped up and backed up on Friday. But Friday should be great, so if you have tickets to come down Friday, shake. Build in time for parking and shuttle buses. Saturday, build in time for shuttle buses. Same thing Sunday as well. So if you're one of those fortunate enough to have a pass to come in here, have tickets to come in here, that would be my advice to you. Once on the ground, it's the setup here is tight. 6,996 yards, but they have stretched things to the limit here. You know, and let's take the 628-yard par 5 fourth hole. The tee box is so far back. I mean, we stood, I'd say Dick and I and Bob were about, I would say, 175 yards from the hole. Well, when you're 175 yards from the hole, hey, you're still 453 yards from the tee. When you're 175 yards from the hole, you're 453 yards from the tee. That's how far back it is. And the tee box is in back of the, is further back than the grandstand is. So people and see the tee on four, really, there'll be people that will look over and can't see. They'll just see the ball coming off the tee. They'll see the ball flying out of there. Yeah, and the fact that, you know, that Woods in yesterday's practice round evidently got it into the greenside bunker in two is remarkable because we saw nobody even attempting that today. Nobody. Not one person. That was windier today, too. But we didn't see a single person try that today. We saw everybody lay up to take a third in from about 100 to 115 yards. The pin placement was brutal. Lower front. The other part that we saw, too, was that on 9, let's take the green on 9. best shot I saw hit in there today was Sergio Garcia. Probably put it 7-8 feet from the hole. He was the only one to get it to the hill to spin it down the hill. But once you get, and that hill's like 10 feet from the cup. The cup was the pin was tight right side. Everybody else, I mean, I saw Dustin Johnson and fringe and almost off the green. And Garcia's the only one that saw hold it, because he was the only one that was that hit it to the right spot to bring it downhill. That ridge, you know, if they hit it to the ridge, they couldn't get it down the hill. And that made a huge difference in what we saw. It's, you know, the traction areas are wet and muddy here, and of course if you come here on Friday, it's going to be worse. Saturday will probably be like today. Sunday should be pretty nice. But you're going to have a different golf course here Sunday than you will on Friday. It'll be, you know, you'll have a different golf course Thursday, a different golf course on Friday, in between Saturday, and a completely different course on Sunday, because by Sunday, you're talking 72 hours out from rain, and just 48 hours out, I saw the greens here very slick and very fast today. You know, that's why balls weren't holding, for example, on 9. That's a 215-yard par 3. 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. The five finishing holes are not birdie holes on this course. Finishing holes, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 are not birdie holes. 18, for example, is a 521-yard par 4. All the greens. I think 17, the green isn't very wide, but it has some depth to it. If my observation was correct in looking at that. And that is where you're going to find players. If you can play the final five even par, you put yourself in a great spot. I can't picture a lot of players playing the final five at even par. The 115-yard par 3 13th certainly brings with it scoring possibilities. It's uphill, and you look at it and go, wow, it's amazingly short. But then they have a 250-yard par 3 9th. You have a 628-yard par 5 4th. 10 is one of the more intriguing holes in this course because the tee box was back today, as I pointed out earlier in the show. So today, 10 played 330 yards. So every player I saw was playing for position off the tee. I saw not one ball in the fairway because at the turn on the dog leg left, at the turn of the dog leg, I saw everybody putting in the high grass. All right? But there are going to be moments, for example, when in this tournament, that's going to be a 303-yard par 4 because they'll move the tee box up. That changes everything. Why? Well, that 27 yards on the dog leg means that you are now, based on the dog leg, only 279 yards to the front of the green. And, of course, with these pros, that's nothing. So you're going to see guys trying to drive the green at 10. Right now in the practice range, Steve Stricker, who will be playing tomorrow with Phil Mickelson in the 7-11 pairing tomorrow. We'll come back with more from the land of the wicker basket in a moment. USGA U.S. Open taking place at Marion, just outside of Philadelphia, as we continue for the broadcast center on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Both of which you know a lot about. Graham McDowell being one, who won at Pebble Beach back in 2010. You're talking about a guy that's won it, finished 14th, and then last year finished second to Webb Simpson at Olympic. And he's won twice this year. In fact, he beat Simpson in a playoff, and he won the world match play. Graham McDowell's won twice this year and plays well on U.S. I haven't really heard a lot about Adam Scott, you know, since he won the Masters. This is only the eighth tournament he has played in this year. He's only played seven tournaments this year so far. And he's played well in almost all of them, including his victory at the Masters. But he has played a light schedule this year, just seven times. So this will be start number eight for him. Mickelson, of course, fourth, missed third at Charlotte, missed the cut at Sawgrass, finished second last week. So his up and down, which is his normal up and down, continues. So just some names to throw out. And I mentioned he'll be going tomorrow morning at 7-11. Steve Stricker's out in the practice range right now. And he is in Mickelson's group tomorrow morning. What happens in the afternoon groups? Woods goes at 1:14 tomorrow with Scott and with Rory McIlroy. We'll find out. The weather's going to play a major role tomorrow, which then could cause, obviously, havoc with Friday, and then things should settle for the weekend. But the course is also going to change for the weekend because there's going to be wind, which will dry out the course and make this course a lot quicker. This is a fascinating place. When you walk around, we talk about narrow fairways. Yeah, you can see it. I mean, you can see it. It's not like playing in your local country club. But at the same time, when we talk narrow fairways, they're, 22 yards wide? You know, so you're talking, you know, they may be 66 to 75 feet wide. Well, I mean, these are the pros. And that's one thing that we saw today and the observation that we made in going around the course. Even the players whose names the average fan would not be familiar with are so good. I mean, it's remarkable to see how good they are, but then it also tells you how great a guy like Woods happens to be. I mean, if these guys are this good, and he has the tendency at times to blow the field away, what does that tell you about how good he is? And that's, yeah, but he hasn't won a major since 2008. He has not won a major since winning at Torrey Pines when he beat Rocco Mediate in that playoff when he had that bad knee. And he says he said he saw a tape of it. And when he did, he looked at the tape of it and he said two things. He says how great the wind was, but he also said at the same time, he said he also recalls how incredibly painful it was. Jim Furyk, who won his state championship in 1987 on the Penn State Blue Course, right now is out on the course going through his practice round. He usually hits a couple balls at each hole, and then he and his caddy are out there right now. But he is he has an afternoon tee time tomorrow, I believe. And so he's out on the course right now. In fact, he's decided to hit three balls out there, as we see at the moment, out on the course. But Furyk is also a former U.S. Open champion and plays, obviously, great on courses such as these. So it's been a fun day here today. Learned a lot along the way. Talked to a lot of fascinating people here along the way. Dick Girardi stopped by. It was great to have DJ back on board. Check out his story tomorrow in the Daily News, because he is going to take an absolutely different look at the U.S. Open. This is not going to be the standard, here's the favorite, this is what I think is going to happen, I walked the court, this is a keyhole, this you got to approach it. No. His column tomorrow in the Philly Daily News, I strongly recommend, whether you get it online or you can get it at Harvey's or wherever it happens to be, read it tomorrow, because it's going to be an absolutely different take. And a complete course today. I lived it. Some of the points that he made during the course of the round today, as we walked through the practice round today. That wraps it up here from the U.S. Open. Our thanks to Sarah Bartlett. Great job as always. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. We'll keep everybody up to date on what's going on with the tournament as well, and exactly how it plays out tomorrow, because the weather will be the primary story tomorrow, and then, of course, what happens with the backup if there is one on Friday. But they'll have to make the call. Fascinating day here. We've enjoyed it very much. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hillshire's General Store Hotline. Brought to you by Hillshire's General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove, routes 11 and 15. The 21st century version of the General Store. Go to www.hillshirestore.com. For Sarah, Steve. Jones.